I'd like to go to my message to you, and my scripture is in Matthew 4 and verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this blessed, holy, dual Sabbath. Heavenly Father, we know that you have great things for us. And we ask that you open our eyes and our heart to the truth that you have. And help us to be able to help others. And spread the word of your kingdom to bring in all of those that you would have to be children of yours. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the remaining words and thoughts that we have. And in Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. And my text to you is verse 19. And that reads, "And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As we go through life, we know that life is full of choices. And we know that it is very possible, and for a lot of people likely, and especially young people, that as part of life's choices, that they many times will listen to the wrong voices and make wrong choices. We know that this process of living our life, we know that it involves certain dangers. There's dangers in life in following the wrong person. Having the example that you follow, that example being right and godly, or it being the other. And young people, we would like to say to you this morning that the best example that you could ever have is Jesus Christ. And you learn about him through God's word. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And he wants you to keep your eyes on him. It's easy to get your eyes off of him. It's easy to follow leaders. And I know all of you have played that game when you were young of following the leader. Jumping off of a high step. Jumping out of a tree. Driving a car, perhaps, too fast when you get later in life. A lot of dares can be involved in that, kind of following the leaders. I dare you to do this. And we know that a lot of dangerous things can happen by having the wrong leader and following the wrong leader and accepting dares. But my message to you this morning is to follow Jesus. And as Jesus started his ministry, we note that he went throughout the hillside country of Judea, around Jerusalem, and up around Nazareth, where he was raised. And he told certain of his soon-to-be disciples, he said, follow me. And we find that in many cases that they just dropped what they were doing at the immediate moment, even if they were in a boat, as we read, helping their father mend nets to go back out fishing and do their livelihood the next day. We find that they stopped what they were doing, left their father right there in the boat, and left and followed Jesus. We need to be just as eager to follow that one person that we know that should be our example, that lived a life much beyond what any of us obviously are capable of doing. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And Jesus will lead you if you will follow. If you will open your eyes and your heart to Him, He will be your leader. Following Jesus leads to being blessed and being a blessing. All of us should want to be a blessing for God, to allow God and His Holy Spirit to be in us and to work through us to accomplish that which He has for us. Follow Jesus. Jesus will lead you to a more dedicated walk with God, a life that is subject to God's will, if you will let Him do it. A more dedicated walk with Him. And you know, it's not just for the older ones. God can lead you to that dedicated life, dedicated to accomplishing what He would have through you. He can lead you now, as you are teenagers or even youngsters. You remember that as Jesus Christ, as a youngster, said to His mom and dad, one time they left Him, He was left behind. And when He was found, His mom asked, you know, why did you deal with us like this? And we all left and you just stayed behind. And He said, I must be about My Father's business. Jesus at a young age responded to the call that was on His life. And He let His mom and dad know, that is why I stayed behind. I must learn about My Father's business. I must be in My Father's house. And this was His response. We also can think of other youngsters that responded. They didn't have to wait until they were grown and married and perhaps in their 30s or 40s or 50s. This is not what God wants. God wants young people for Him at a young age. He wants them to respond. Do you remember Timothy? Timothy obviously was a young man. And Paul talked of him as being his son and tried his best to encourage Timothy and to give him instruction. And he knew that he was brought up well. He knew his mother and his grandmother. And we read that in the Scriptures. And so Paul instructed Timothy, being a young man, to seek God's will and to stay in His will. And we also know that Samuel had a call at a very young age and was given by his mother at a very young age, preteen, to God's work, being in the temple. We also know that Joseph, being a young man, probably in his late teens, probably around 18 or so, we know that he was mistreated by his brothers and sold as a slave and taken completely out of the country to Egypt. And we know what that led into. You don't need to wait until you're older to respond to God's call. and to let God work His will through you. We need to make those choices as soon as God's Holy Spirit tugs at our heart and life. And as we respond, we will be more sincerely dedicated to God. And He will work through us to reach others. God will lead you to a right relationship with your parents. In Luke 2 and 52, along there, our Bibles say that after Jesus stayed behind in the temple, listening to the doctors and lawyers, and both listening and answering questions that they were to ask Him, they were completely astonished at Jesus' answers, that He knew as much as He did, but they didn't know that He was really God's Son, that there was something very special about Jesus. But they were astonished at Him and at His wisdom. And it says that after Joseph and Mary came back to get Joseph and said the words that we talked about a while ago, that he went back home with his parents and was subject to his parents. Joseph was subject to his parents. That is part of the right relationship of young people to their parents. It also says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and that He increased in favor with God and man. We need, God expects a right relationship of children to their parents and parents to their children. God expects this. Parents have a responsibility in how, what they do and how they do it around their children. Everything that a parent does and the young children sees that goes on within the home and without the home affects the children. Parents have to conduct themselves properly. They have to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the father. Children have a responsibility to listen, to obey, to be in subjection to, and that means to honor and respect their parents for trying to help you, lead you, guide you in the way that God's Word says is right. So there needs to be a right relationship with your parents. And Jesus will lead you to that relationship if you ask Him. Thirdly, Jesus will lead in regular habits of worship. I'd like to go to Luke 4 and 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Let us know that it was Jesus' custom. He had been brought up right. His parents took him to church. They taught him the right things. And Jesus didn't leave that behind when he grew up and went outside his parents' home. As his custom was, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and begin to read. It's necessary for these regular habits of worship to be established at a young age. Just like you need natural food for the health of your body and your mind, so you need spiritual food. You have to have the Word, and you have to have worship. The Word and worship. Allowing God to speak to you through His Word. Praising God through songs, through these praise and worship songs, through these special songs and sign languages that we do. That is in praise and honor of God. It is for the growth, both natural and spiritual. It's for the growth of our mind and our body. Fourthly, Jesus will lead you to give of yourselves to others. Let's go to Acts. Acts 10 and 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This lets us know what Jesus Christ went about doing. He went about giving encouragement to the distressed. Jesus did that. He gave hope to the depressed. He gave food to the hungry. Remember the feeding of the loaves and the fishes, and how many people were fed? I think at least two different times, thousands of people by a few loaves and a few fishes. He gave food to the hungry. He gave guidance to the uncertain. He gave comfort to the grieving. And he gave his life to bring us life, to deliver us from death, to deliver our lives, to deliver us from problems and concerns that are overwhelming in our life, to redeem us into the family of God, to have that hope and the knowledge of an eternal life with Him. Jesus went about doing good, helping, being of service to all that he could, all that he came around. That's exactly what Jesus wants each one of us to do. As we have opportunity, he expects us to be of service. And lastly, Jesus will lead you into your heavenly home. Let's go to John 14. John 14 and starting at the first verse. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you believe Jesus' words? He went back to the Father. He is preparing heavenly places for you. There are mansions in heaven, and they're being prepared for the children of God. Jesus Christ said, I go away and I'm coming back. That is the great day of the Lord. When He comes back this second time and He gathers us up to meet Him. And as we follow Jesus each day of our life, then He will lead us into our heavenly home. Did you know, young people, everybody, that the happiest people on earth are not the most popular, and the happiest people on earth are not the most prosperous, but the happiest people on earth and the most contented and the ones that have really found life worth living and know that they have found their place in life, those are the ones that have found Jesus. Those are the ones that have found God in their life and has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those are the happy, contented ones. The others can be flooded with money and things and have many people following them and looking up to them and have the ego thing. But does that make a person happy? No, it won't. And when you live life as long as some of us have, you'll know that. You'll realize that. Happiness does not lie in things and popularity and money. It lies in your walk with God and keeping yourself right with Him, giving the rightful honor and respect to Him and praise and glory, and then following Jesus' example of being of service to your fellow man, your brothers and sisters, those that you come in contact with. As you do those two primary things there in regard to your fellow man and God, you will have that satisfaction and that joy in life and that peace. If you would.